Amen. Amen. Those of you who believe that we will sing hallelujah by and by in that land where there'll be no more sorrow and no more tears and no more regrets, say amen. Amen. Those of you who are in the audience this morning, and you're so very glad that God brought you through, he brought you through, say amen, amen. 2018, and we stand on the precipice of 2019, and we don't quite know what God has in store for us, is that all right? But we know he's a mighty good God, amen? And we know that with him, we'll get through 2019, just like we got through 2018, amen? And it's all about who God is and who God is in our lives. And if he is not significant in our lives, then we're going to have a very difficult and a very tough time, amen? But everything that we do through the power, through the will, through the auspices of God, and because of his grace and his mercy, we are who we are. We are where we are, and we will be where God wants us to be. Amen. And I don't know about you guys. I can look back on 2018 and point at some ugly stuff, and use that as an energy to suck on a woman in 2019. But that's not what I'm doing. I look back in 2018 and I see all of the ugly stuff. But I see God brought me through that. Is that all right? And so that's my peppermint stick for 2019. Is that all right? That I know that my God is going to be with me. And I know that he is able. I'm talking about grace, y'all. I'm talking about who God is in our lives and who he can be in our lives. I'm talking about his power. I'm talking about a people of God who are a people of destiny and who can do what God wishes us to do if we only believe in the God we say we believe in. I'm challenging our faith. I'm challenging our hope. I'm challenging our understanding of Scripture. I'm challenging who we say we are. So as we walk through life, we gain energy from God's word, from one another, and from the certainty that no matter where I am, God is with me. Amen? Ponder those things. And think on those things as we begin 2019. My sermon this morning is just going to be an introduction. It's just going to be an introduction to who God is and what God is all about. And this theme, we're going to break down this theme over the year into each of the four quarters and make this idea and this notion applicable to everything we do in life. But first of all, I want us to understand that all that we do and all that we're going to be talking about doing this year is by God's grace. So can you all say with me one time, by God's grace. Oh, come on, y'all can do better than that. One more time. By God's grace, everything that we do. Amen. 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 Everything that we do is going to be by what? By, say, neighbor, I live, I breathe, and I know that by God's grace, we're going to be all right. Say amen, y'all. Y'all make good preachers. You know that? Y'all make good preachers. Amen. Now, the reason we know that, and the reason we believe that, because our God is a mighty God. Is that all right? He's a mighty God. Y'all got time to sing just a few minutes? I'm not going to be long. I want us to learn a new song this morning about just how mighty God is. And I want us to sing that song with enthusiasm. I want us to sing it like we believe it. You know how some of you have these, some of you went to powerful schools that have powerful sports programs, basketball, baseball, football, and these schools have songs related to your conquest, amen? And you sing some of these songs with vigor, with enthusiasm, with gusto, right? Don't you have a God worth singing about? Grab your songbooks. Grab your songbooks. Turn to page 41. Page 41. Now, some of us sung this song on Wednesday night. So you voices that were in the audience Wednesday night, I want to hear them this morning. Amen? And some of us know this song. We've sung it before in the past, okay? It's a catchy little tune. I'm going to go over a little bit about it and give you a kind of an insight on how the song is sung. And then I'm going to ask us all to join in, okay? So first of all, let's look at the organization of the song. The first two, we're going to call those bars over here, okay? That says, "Mighty is our God, mighty is our King." And then the second verse is, "Glory to our God, glory to our King." We're going to sing those two first. And then on the first time through that, we go to, see that number two there in the middle, where it says, "His name is higher, higher than any other name, and then his power is greater. He has created everything." Then we'll go back up to the top, and we'll sing verses 1 and 2 again, and then we'll come down third time to the end of the song, "Ruler of everything, ruler of everything." Now, let's see how this works. Everybody ready? All right, listen to me. As ugly as my voice is, I'm going to try to give you a little bit of insight into the song. This is how the song goes. "Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, he's ruler of everything." Now one moment, what I'm doing is slurring the "mighty is our God," and if you just want to say, uh-huh, that's fine with me. You're just agreeing with it, all right? "Mighty is our God," uh-huh, if you want to. "Mighty is our King," uh-huh. "Mighty is our Lord, he's ruler of everything." All right, let's try that again. Let's try those first two verses. Everybody ready? "Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, he's ruler of everything. Glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, he's ruler of everything." All right, let's look at that second part, that middle part. The middle part is a kind of a step up a little bit. "His name is higher, higher than any other name." Say that with me. "His name is higher, higher than any other name. His power is greater, for he has created everything." And then back up to the top. "Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, glory is our Lord, he's ruler of everything. Glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, he's ruler of everything." Down to the bottom. "Ruler of everything, ruler of everything." Don't you have a mighty God? Isn't that fun to sing about how great your God is? Aren't you proud of your God? Now let's sing this song like we know it then, amen? All right, one more time. "Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, he's ruler of everything. Glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, he's ruler of everything. His name is higher, for he is every other name. His power is greater, for he has created everything. Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, he's ruler of everything. be glory to our Lord, glory to our King, glory to our Lord. He's ruler of everything. Amen. Say this with me. Neighbor,
mighty is our God.
He's ruler
of everything.
Amen. Nothing wrong with praising God, y'all. It's 2019. Something's going to change. Amen. Something's got to be different. Something's got to be real. Something's got to be alive in our lives. Aren't you tired of the same old things? Aren't you tired of just going through the drudgery of being a Christian? We're going to find the power. We're going to find the energy. We're going to find the enthusiasm. We're going to find God's grace and the power that's in His grace. Because that's how we become who God wants us to be. And when we are who God wants us to be, listen to me, y'all. Listen to me. Nobody can defeat us. Nobody can stop us. Nobody can get the whole Roman nation tried to stop Christianity. And in 400, Constantine decided, we can't beat them, so I'm going to join them. And he made Christianity a national state religion. Because he came to the realization that I can't be God. You and I need to come to the realization in our hearts that if God is for us, who can be against us? That our God is able. Beyond all that I can comprehend, He's able. Pray with me. Father, our God, we want to worship You, praise You, tap into Your Spirit in a new way. Not new as in made up by us, but new as in discovered by the riches and the richness of Your word. We want to look deeper, dear God. We want to drink deeper. We want to tap into Your power. We want to have the kind of confidence you want us as Your children to have. We want to believe Your word without doubting, without hesitating. We want to tear down walls of doubt and confusion and anxiety. And we want to build bridges of accomplishment, of success, of realizing the promise. We struggle, dear God, because we're flesh. We struggle, dear God, because we are fearful. We struggle, dear God, because we don't have all the answers. And it's in our nature to want to have the answers before we take a step. So help us to walk by faith. Help us to trust You. Help us to believe You. Help us to be who You want us to be. In the mighty name of Your Son, Jesus, the church said, Amen. Our theme comes to us, the seminal verse comes to us out of a passage that everybody in this building is familiar with. We see this passage, we visit this passage every time we come to the contribution. Because if it's not read on Sunday morning, it's typically read Sunday night, but just about every Sunday we see this passage. I want to look a little deeper. We have teachers in the room. Sister Brown, Sister Sonia, Brother Charles, Sister Ryan, used to. She's an administrator now. She's boss now. But teachers understand this concept. Teach the students the principle. Make sure they understand and they grasp the principle. Because see, if a child or student or adults of God's word, students of God's word, if we understand the principle, then we can apply that principle to a variety of situations in life. Amen? Amen? So, it behooves you as a student of God's word not to copy your neighbor's answer, because you'll miss the principle, but to understand the principle. Now, I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. When we look at this passage and we talk about giving, we copying the answer of your neighbor is, well, I got to give cheerfully, I got to give not sparingly, because God loves a cheerful. I can quote that. I can pontificate what that verse says, what Paul is saying there. And some of us, in trying to understand that, well, sometimes I get questions like this. Well, what does it mean, Brother Thompson, not to be grudging? If I grudge, does that mean don't give? And, you know, I give you the benefit of the doubt. If you want to boil God's word down to you nitpicking a verb or nitpicking a passage, then don't give. Okay? You missed the principle. You missed the point. The guys, see, in this passage that Paul is talking about, he uses the principle of something that doesn't make sense, giving away something to get more. That's what he says, right? And you've heard people stand at the table and say, well, the more you give, the more God gives to you. Okay? That may be true, but you missed the principle. And the context is giving. But below the context is what Paul's trying to teach the Corinthians. So let's look at this one verse. And in this one verse, I want you to focus on three concepts that help us understand what Paul is talking about. Because once you understand the principle, you have a new development of liberty and a new development of freedom. You no longer look to money in this situation to resolve your problems or to determine how you are going to live. Now you look to the principle. You look to the grace that Paul said that God gives each and every one of us in that passage. So turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, and let's look at this passage of Scripture. Paul says this, and God is able, say able.
Able.
God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Our theme is by the grace of God, and it comes out of this passage, and we are going to look and focus and live on the principle here. There are three clauses that I want you to understand. God is able to make all grace abound towards you all. That's clause number one. Clause number two is, so that you always have, say always,
always,
always have, say it louder, always have sufficiency. In what? Just a little bit. Just to pay this one bill. just to get by just today. In my religious life, but not my personal life. Y'all not preaching to me. Talk to me this morning. God says we're going to have sufficiency in what? All things. That precludes nothing. Every aspect. Look, challenge yourself. Challenge the scripture. Listen to what Paul is saying. Paul is saying in every aspect of your life, you're going to have sufficiency. We're going to come back and look at that in just a moment. Then the third passage, the third clause. And you may have an abundance for every good deed. That in the ESV, that last phrase there, you may abound in every good work. Okay, here we go. You've taken notes. This is what I want you to understand. Paul's principles of God's grace. The first one, there is a fountain. Say amen, y'all. We sing a song. There is a what? Field of what? Yeah. Drawn where? Yes. In other words, what Paul is saying here, when Paul says, listen to me, when Paul says in this text, he says, and God is able to make all grace. What Paul is saying is that everything with respect to grace is wound up, bound up, sealed up in God. He is the fountain. He is the source. You're looking for strength? You're looking for an abundance of things? You're looking for somewhere to go tap into to get some energy when life beats you down, when the ebbs and flow of the work, when the family, when the challenge of who you want to be and who you're trying to be, when that bank runs, when that battery runs dry. You know, all of us, how many of you got cell phones? All right, everybody in here should have raised something. Look. Lion is a sin, y'all. Let me ask you one more time. How many of y'all got cell phones? Amen. There you go. There you go. And that cell phone needs a charger, a battery, right? And now some of you know that if I put my, when my battery goes low on my cell phone, I find that source right there in a plug, and I plug my phone into it, right? But see, some of you, like Sister T, don't take that chance. And if you dig through her purse deep enough and far enough, she carries a little battery in there. She's sophisticated. She carries a little battery in there because I want to go home tonight, so I'm gonna shut up and get off that subject. But she wants the power. She wants the source. She never wants to be without that connection. If you can see that in the image of a cell phone, y'all not listening to me. Let me talk to this part of you. If you can see that image in the use of a cell phone, where is your source? Where is your fountain? Where is your power? What do you plug into when you need power? You see, Paul's talking about giving, but before these Corinthians get to giving, and before they start worrying about if I give this away, I won't have none, Paul wants them to understand that the source of everything is God. And he's got the grace. And he's got the power. He's got everything. But see, as long as they don't see the fountain, and as long as you and I don't see the fountain, then we're going to copy off our neighbor's test. will say the words, and we won't know why the words are important. Copying doesn't have a good reputation anyway. You've all heard the story about a guy who, this has got to be a universal story or lie across all school districts, but there was always that one guy in somebody's classroom who cheated on the test and copied not only the answers, but the name of the person he was copying off of. That's when you don't even know what you're doing. You see, and so sometimes we are like that religiously. We can quote the words, we've heard them all our lives, but we don't know how to tap into the power. We don't know where the strength is. We don't know what the principle is. God told Abraham and Sarah, when, this is Genesis 19 or so, when he said to Sarah, I'll come back in a year and you'll have a child. We preachers make a point that Sarah laughed, and she did, but Abraham laughed too. See, you don't know that if you're copying off of somebody's paper. But if you're in the source, you know Abraham laughed too. But more importantly, why did they laugh? Because they doubted the power. They doubted the source. They looked at their world through lens of flesh and blood and laws that were created for mortal people like you and me. They didn't look at the world through the eyes of a God who's not in time, but he's always. That's my God, y'all. That's my God. And so he challenged them. He says, is anything too hard for me? In other words, he says, do you know who you're talking to? So when Paul says, so we walk by faith and not by sight, when we rely on the grace of God, and we look to him for our source. Do you know who you're talking to? When you say to the preacher, I can't come to services, or I can't attend, or I can't give as I prosper, or I can't teach God's. When you throw up words and walls of doubt that tells and justifies what you can't, do you know who you're talking to? Jesus gave 12 men a commission 2,000 years ago. And he says, go into all the world. You and I are a result of the beliefs of 12 fishermen almost. 12 nobodies who made somebody to save everybody. Because they believed who they were talking to. God is our fountain. He is able. Now, I want you to understand one thing. He is able. Doesn't mean he will do it. See, if you and I, in not grasping the principle, don't live up according to the principle, then God doesn't feel obligated to prove he's able. You see, look at the principle again. Paul is talking to some Corinthians, and he's trying to get them to give to the support of the Jews in Jerusalem, the poor Jews in Jerusalem. He talks to them about the Macedonians who gave beyond what they were able. He's talking to the Corinthians and he's saying, I want you to take some of your wealth and give it to the work of God. Now, if I walked up to you and said, Sister Tasha, give me $20, it's because she's a nice person. She's not going to tell me what she just thought. If she gives me $20, she's going to do it by assessing, well, how much money do I have? What do I need to use it for? Do I have other uses than to give it to Brother Thompson just because he asked for it? And she'll say, I don't have it. I'm going to test that theory a little later on. And Paul is saying to the Corinthians, don't do that. Because if you give cheerfully, if you give willingly, if you give without doubting, if you give grudgingly, I'll give it back to you. So the principle Paul is trying to get the Corinthians to see is don't assess what you will do through the lens of what you think you've got to get done in your life. I think I said something. Because everything that we do when it comes to being obedient to God's will is by assessing what I'm too busy to do or why I can't do it because I got other things to do it. And Paul's just talking about giving here, but this application applies to so many other areas and aspects in our lives. So if you do it, then God's able. That's how his principle works. That's how his reimbursement works, if you will, if we want to reduce it to that level of thinking. But I want us to be above that because too many times we miss the beauty of God's word by bumming the minutia, the meaningless, the small, the little. This next principle is the reservoir, having all sufficiency. Now, the Greek on that is interesting. The Greek on that says this, in all things, always, all. If you translate it literally, that's exactly what it means. Say it with me, in all things, always, all. Listen to the words, in all things, always, all. In other words, what Paul is saying is that this principle of the reservoir says that the fountain will pour into you in all things, always, all. You don't have more. When I think about this, how many of you have seen sometimes on Valentine's Day, you have these little get-togethers where people have this fountain of chocolate? Have you seen that fountain of chocolate? And at the top, the chocolate comes out, and then it pours into these little bowls, one bowl after the other, one cup after the other, and the cup is always over. What Paul is saying is that that's what God is. God's the fountain. He's the source that you see the chocolate coming up out of. And I don't care how big your bowl is, you're going to end always, always, at all. That's what all sufficiency. That's more than enough. That's enough plus some. That's the little four-year-old's answer to the wish or to the question, if I had something I wanted, I'd want a peppermint stick with just one end. That's what God is saying in all things, always, all. And so God is the reservoir. And he's flowing his love. And he's flowing his mercy. So that you will be enriched and have in every respect at all times all kinds of sufficiency. If we are in God's will, there will never be a time when God's grace can't always, in all things, give us all. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And then lastly, this dream. That you may abound in every good work. All that in one verse, guys. That you may abound. In other words, when Jesus told his 12 to go into all the world, and he says, and lo, I will be with you. Yes. Yes. And so, if we're in God's will, and we are doing what God's asking us to do, then we will abound in every good work. Paul says, my God, who has begun a work in you, will bring it to fruition. He will complete it. You will have not only what you need, you'll have more than what you need to get the job done. And you know, when you have more than what you need, you just start giving stuff away. Don't you know that? I can prove that right now. Last time you talked about winning the lottery, what did you talk about? I'm going to pay all my bills, then I'm going to help mama, I'm going to help sister, I'm going to help my brother, I help the neighbor across the street. When you got always, when you are full of all you need, when you got more than you need, then you will turn around and you'll start giving to others. I want you to understand that in God, we have more than we need. And we can do everything he wants us to do in him. All right, y'all. I don't know about you. That's how I want to live 2019. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Say neighbor. Y'all gonna get tired of that. By God's grace. I can do everything. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. You're here this morning. You're subject to the gospel call. God sent his son to die for us all. In his death, his life story is the gospel. But more importantly, it's more than just a story. The principle is God's trying to save us. He's trying to get you and me back. We walked away from him, and God could have walked away from us, but he sent his son Jesus to die so you and I can come to him. That's called reconciliation. He wants to mend the rift, bridge the gap. So you come to God by hearing his word and then by being obedient to it. By changing your mind and deciding, I'm going to live exactly the way God wants me to live. That's what repentance is all about. Confessing that Jesus is God's son. Give my allegiance and loyalty to him. I like the way Thomas did it. When Thomas put his hands in Jesus' wounds, he said to him, my Lord and my God. See, Thomas was real then. See, because when you call somebody your Lord, you're saying, he's my sovereign. You're saying, he's everything and I'm nothing. I'm going to do everything. My Lord! And my God. And so when you confess Jesus is God's son, I want you to understand you also confessing that he's your Lord. He's your master. And that the sacrifice that he did on your behalf is worth you giving him your loyalty. Put him on in baptism. Dying to self. Rising to walk in the newness of life. And if you do so at the end of your life, you'll stand in a long crowd of people. And you will hear your master say, well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. If you are subject to that gospel call, won't you come while we stand and we sing the song of invitation?